Welcome to episode 79 of the Golf Talk Podcast. We're almost an octogenarian at this point. This is Eric Barseski. Joining me is Alan Olson, who's from Minnesota, but he's not there today.
Nope. Greetings from, well, I was going to say warm, sunny Omaha, but it's the same crappy weather.
Tiger Woods is 3-for-3 in 2008. Every time he plays, basically, he's won. He's won 6 of the last 6 worldwide tournaments and 7 of the last 8 worldwide. That includes his Target Challenge. I'm assuming, I think that goes back to the PGA and the Tour Championship as well.
I mean, the guy is on an incredible run. I mean, it's just, we're seeing perfection. I mean, this is golf history. I mean, for the people that complain about having Tiger on TV all the time, it's like, how could you not want to watch this? I want him to play more.
He could. Do you think he could not lose this year? Well, I don't think you think that either. So,
no.
So what would you put the odds of him not losing at all this year?
Oh, I'd have to say it's pretty low. Maybe
10-1 odds.
I don't know, 20.
21.
Yeah, just because, I mean, it's going to be one of those weeks where, I mean, match play, it's one-on-one, but he's playing the whole field. Somebody gets hot, Phil doesn't hit it, you know, left, right, over the green. Somebody gets hot putting.
Well, what do you think his winning percentage will be this year then? Let's assume he plays 20 times worldwide.
20 times, he'll lose three events maybe.
Three? Okay, so 17 out of 20. I'm going with 10 out of 20. I'm going with a 50% winning percentage, which has been pretty good lately. But he's already 3-for-3, so he'd only have to go 7 out of the next 17.
Yeah, I think he gets that.
Tiger almost didn't, though. He almost didn't make it past his first round opponent, JB Holm. He was 3 down with 5 to go.
JB Holm, he played perfect, and Tiger was just a little bit off, and then all of a sudden it was like
shot in the tournament went out of bounds.
Yeah, and then, those last few holes, I mean, that was, you know, what, birdie, 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 eagle? I mean, that's just...
Didn't miss a putt outside of inside of anything. Made 88 feet worth of putts in the last 4 or 5 holes. But yeah, barely made it past the first round, and then just got better every day after that.
Mm-hmm.
Ending up demolishing Stewart Cink 8-7, of course, in the 36-hole final, but they only made it to the 11th hole the second time around.
No, I mean, that had to have been... Well, you wonder, NBC, they get Tiger for the final, but yet he's playing Stewart Cink. It wasn't close. You know, how many people really paid attention to it, as opposed to, you know, his match with Aaron Baddeley was, I mean, that was compelling golf to watch.
They had to go 20 holes. Aaron Baddeley had 2 putts that could have eliminated Tiger Woods and missed them both. Both very difficult putts. One was dead straight, and those are tough. And the other one had 4 feet of break on about a 12-foot putt, so another tough one there, too. So, very interesting. Also interesting, I think the Americans, there were 13, maybe, out of 64 Americans in the field, something like that, an all-time record low number of Americans in the field. And yet Americans, 3 out of the 4 finalists in the final 4 were Americans. The ones that played well stuck around and beat out the majority of the other nationalities, I suppose.
Yeah, it was
it might bode well for the Ryder Cup this year.
I hope so, maybe.
We hope so. We're clinging to anything we can get our grubby little fingers on it.
We're grasping a straw.
Paula Creamer, switching to the LPGA Tour now. Paula Creamer wins for the first time in only the second, I think, the second LPGA event of 2008, but comes back from two strokes down with 3 holes to play, birdies the last, I think, 4 holes, or at least the last 3 in a row, and wins. So a nice come-from-behind win for Paula Creamer. And
yeah, good for
plagued by injuries the past couple of years, so looking to get off to a good start, and this is certainly the way to do it.
Yeah, do you think she could be a challenger for Lorena Ochoa?
I think she has the game to do it, and I think she has a good attitude, and she's an American, and I like to see good play. She has a personality, and she expresses it on the golf course, too, so I like to see that. The LPGA Tour, too, does a better job of that. They're not quite as mechanical as the PGA Tour pros, so I like to see a little more personality, and the LPGA is a good place to do it. And I still think, for the average golfer, the LPGA is a more compelling round of golf to watch, because it's more like the games of the average player. They're not hitting 300-yard drives. They're not wrenching 7 irons out of nasty lies in the rough. That they're playing games. You know, some of them have 7 hybrids and they hit, you know, 4 hybrid from 140 yards. But the vast majority of them play a game that's very similar to, you know, your average male golfer. So, and again, the personalities too. So, stunned you there, huh? Nothing.
I got nothing. It was good to see her win. You know, women's golf, you know, I think it's also fun to watch, and the fact that they don't seem to try to kill the ball, which I think, you know, us hacks, i.e. me, you know, I think that, that's good. You know, it's good to be able to watch their tempo. You know, I'm not going to have the tempo of a guy, PGA golfer, but watching the women, they swing within themselves and just, they're fun to watch. And like you said, it's good golf for, it's good compelling golf to watch.
The Nationwide Tour had its first event of the year, also known as the PGA Tour's Mayakoba Classic. I'm not quite sure how a tournament that's 2 years old can be called classic already, but Brian Gay wins on the PGA Tour, even though nobody was actually in the field except Brian Gay and John Daly. So
yeah, how did he do there?
Good job. 2 year exemption for, you know, beating nobody.
Yeah.
What can we say? It still takes a lot, but it's a glorified Nationwide Tour event at that point. So nobody's going to remember that Brian Gay won the Mayakoba Classic except Brian Gay and his caddy, maybe his wife, but she'll probably forget to.
Congratulations, Brian Gay.
We'll be right back after this message with an interview with Gary Sherrill. You probably remember the name from Golf Channel's Four Inventors Only show, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm working on making everything I look at
something new all the time.
Winning my first major.
Another green jacket.
Working on my signature.
Hitting it this close.
Just to the target.
Staying positive after every shot.
More wins.
More birdies.
More eagles.
Just having more fun.
Beating the rest of these guys.
I'm working on a bunch of stuff.
Thinking less.
I'm not telling.
Even the world's best want to be better. That's why there's the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
Today we're talking with Gary Sherrill. The name rings a bell. It's because Gary's product, the Club Glider, was featured on Golf Channel's show Four Inventors Only. So welcome, Gary.
Yeah, thank you.
First question here is lots of our listeners saw you on the show, but what's something they didn't see? Do you have any behind-the-scenes dirt there that's interesting for us?
Oh, boy, there was a lot of drama that ended up not making it on the television. I think things behind the scenes were just how much money and how much time and people would quit their job to just get their product that shot. That was their lotto ticket. And when, you know, different people didn't make it and that lotto ticket didn't cash, it was tough and felt for them. I mean, we all did. We all had a baby we were trying to get to the big leagues. When you were told your baby didn't have pro potential, it was tough. There were a lot of crazy other stuff, too.
Hey, Gary, how'd you come up with the concept for the Club Glider?
You know, we've all been there, traveling with your golf clubs. You're exhausted, you're tired, you're sore, just lugging them every 3 feet, setting them back down, the parking garage track. Now with security, it's more difficult and the lines are longer. And I literally was coming back from Las Vegas with a bunch of buddies. We've been golfing. It was the end of May on just a fella trip, 36 a day and 4 days and back to the airport. And I was tired and I had an SKB at the time, a hard case, a big one. It was end of May. It was hot, tired, standing in line. And I looked at a buddy and said, there's got to be a better way to do this. And literally on the airplane ride back, I got out a napkin and with a pen started doodling and drew up what Club Glider would eventually become.
And before you went on the show, we understand you had a partnership with Sun Mountain before Four Inventors Only had even started. And since the show, we understand that they've made some improvements. Can you tell us about those improvements?
Yeah, Sun Mountain, what an amazing company. What I brought to them was, you know, the bag you saw on the show. That was a prototype literally out of the garage. It was a set of retractable, the legs that retracted in and out were literally off a folding mechanism on a picnic table. The wheels were bought down at a hardware store and literally welded on. What they did was the very first meeting after we were in agreement that we're going forward with this, they put it up on a boardroom war table, if you will, and all the engineers and the QA guys and sales, and we started taking it apart, or they started taking it apart. Some of the great things that came out of that set of sessions, if you will, was how they've engineered into the bag the extra padding. Let's protect what's inside the bag as well. The thickness of the padding, the ballistic nylon that covers the bag, the exoskeleton that they've engineered for supporting. We've all watched the guys throwing the travel bags onto the airplane. Well, now with their engineering of the piping and the cross-stitching and the quilting, they've literally provided structure and support to the top of your shafts and your clubs such that when other bags are thrown on top, it provides that support. To say that you can protect it guaranteed, I don't think that's realistic. However, it's superior to anything that's out there right now, bar of a hard case.
Wow, that sounds great. When can people buy them?
We're working through delivery schedules right now. Looks like it's going to be in stores sometime end of April. A lot of that's dictated by how long customs. This is the first time it's coming through customs. And so you don't know how long that's going to be in there as they have to review a new product code, if you will, through each company.
Is there something you can pre-order them now, though? Is that correct?
Correct. On our website, clubglider.com, you can actually pre-order right now. We've even done something a little bit more to try and give the customer a personalization option. option. We're really excited about it. Now you can go online at clubglider.com and you can pick the color you want. You can pick whether you would like to have one line or two lines of personalization. You can put your name, Mr. Sandbagger, whatever, if you want to get it for a buddy. You can pick the color of font. You can also pick or the embroidery it's going to be, whether you want it bold or italic, and order it right now. Those are going to be delivered to the customers prior to them being available in the stores is the goal. It's an exciting time.
Well, that sounds great. And the price right now is $259. Is that right? Or $279
Correct.
With the customization?
Yeah, $259 is the price of Club Glider. And then to customize it or personalize it is an extra $20.
Okay, well, that sounds great. I'd like to thank Gary Sherrill for stopping with us and talking on the Golf Talk podcast. Again, check out his website and his product at clubglider.com. Thanks, Gary.
Hey, thank you, Eric, and thank you, Alan.
At the tournament you're watching now, more players trust Titleist.
More players trust Titleist.
Trust Titleist.
More players trust Titleist.
Than all other golf balls.
Than all other.
All other golf balls.
All other golf balls combined.
All other golf balls combined.
Welcome back. In our beating ball segment, the lead story is Sergio Garcia. Last year, he went to a belly putter. This year, he's got a new strategy. Two putters.
He borrowed it from Phil. One misses putts to the left, and the other one misses putts to the right.
I thought Phil had two drivers, but two putters, hey, whatever works for the guy.
Well, yeah, he had a draw putter. He had a draw driver and a fade driver. So Sergio has the pull and the push putter.
I mean, how fried mentally does he have to be to have to carry two putters now? I mean, is his confidence shot? I mean, I know he finished 15th in 2007 for the PGA for putting.
Yeah.
But two putters?
Well, I may say the first step is admitting that you have a problem, but I think he did that already when he went to the belly putter. So he didn't get credit for recognizing that he has a problem. At this point, he's losing credit for not having fixed the problem yet. I think he just needs a lobotomy.
This is getting to be comical.
Just scramble the cerebral cortex and put someone else's brain in there or something, and whatever. I don't know. Maybe he should just putt left-handed.
Yeah, I don't know. Give him a hockey stick or something. I mean, this is just getting a little bit bizarre,
we've seen every time he putts.
Might as well blindfold him.
He can get down on the green and go, "Don't you want to go to your home?" in Spanish.
I mean, he used to putt when he, I mean, we're thinking, I mean, he's
he
not
used to putt
old.
Like a 16-year-old. Yeah, he's like 12.
Yeah, he used to not care at all. He had natural feel on the greens. He putted great and then oh, man.
And he still does in Ryder Cup, so I don't really care. Part of the reason I don't think he'll ever win a major, because he's just nuts.
Sergio will go to three, then you can have a blade, a mallet, and a belly.
There you go. Yeah, one for the
perfect.
One for the straight putts, one for the left to right breakers, and one for the right to lefters.
Exactly. He could have a face weighted, maybe a toe. Never mind.
He could even if he ever three putts, he could use one for each putter, and then in his head, he can convince himself to be one putted three times.
Three. Exactly.
There you go.
How confusing! How confusing for his caddy. Hand me a putter.
Which one?
I mean, pretty soon he's going to have a driver,
two wedges,
a couple wedges,
eight putters,
and exactly.
Yeah,
and Sergio. He needs the one that's taller than a belly putter.
TaylorMade doesn't make enough putters for him to start doing this. Michelle Wee, she shoots a 69 and is tied for eighth after the first round. Then she shoots a 73 on a day when people did a little bit, it was tougher, but they still shot reasonable scores. Then she shoots a 78 in the final round. So she makes the cut, but then she finishes last of the people that made the cut. So what is up with this? 69, 73, 78.
I don't know. I mean, kudos to her to making the cut. I mean, I think this is, the first round under 70?
And kudos to her for making 69, yeah. I mean,
I don't know. After the first round, you would have thought this would have been, the resurgence of Michelle Wee, and then she just goes right back out there. And I mean, her comment, one of the comments that is linked to the article, "I kind of hit a couple of shots offline, found a couple bad breaks, and the putts didn't fall today." I mean, it just...
Well, and before that, she was talking about a wrist before that. She's like, "I don't think they'll ever be quite right." I'm like, what?
She's 18 years old. What do you mean your wrist is never going to be quite right? I don't know. You know what? I didn't watch very much. I didn't get to see much of Michelle Wee. Some people in our forum made the comment that her swing looks completely different than it did when she was...
It's very 15, jerky 16. Now.
And it's a good point. What has David Lederbetter done? you know, he's, you know, you've taken somebody who was a natural talent, made it more mechanical.
I don't know. The problems aren't all mental, though. I don't know that the problems aren't all mental. I think her swing got messed up when she tried to hit the ball far with the boys on the PGA Tour. And now I don't know that she's ever gotten back to her old...
Go back to college. Enjoy college.
The 69 shows she's still got something, though. That's a good round. Yeah. I mean, again, put her like tied for eighth or something. She's got a lot of work to do this year if she wants to play in the majors on the LPGA Tour, because at this point, she isn't qualified for any of them. So we'll see how that goes. Boo Weekly, always a weekly story every time he plays. This year, this week, apparently, he didn't know that you could concede putts. And I'm not sure I believe this, because come on. I'm not sure how much of this is the Boo Weekly press brigade. I think he's more clever than whatever, or maybe he's just a doofus and he's kind of absent-minded, but I really doubt he didn't know that you couldn't concede a putt. He's played match play before. He might have been right. 16 when he did it, but come on.
Yeah, that's kind of funny that I think he's smarter than what the press has given him credit for, and you know, not conceding, what was it, like an 8-inch putt.
And if he did that on purpose, I'll give him credit. That's the thing, too. If he did it on purpose, to be like, you know, where the other guy would be like, God, is that guy really that dumb? You know, that would be an awesome match play tactic, I think. You know, it might work.
Put him on the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. See what the hell happens. And
it can't be anyone.
Put him on the President's Cup team, too. But, you know, who's going to be his captain is Fred Couples, apparently, in 2010. 2009.
Yeah, I'm not sure what, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have talked before about
Jack Nicklaus was doing it. I don't know.
They went for Jack.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're both speechless. I don't know. I don't know why they named Fred Couples. I think he's, you know, I think he could be a good captain.
He's a jovial guy. I mean, he's going to have free back massages for the entire team.
Yeah, absolutely. But
I don't know how
these guys win for Jack.
Yeah, I don't know how inspiring Fred Couples can be. The laid-back tactic seems to work because Jack doesn't really seem to do anything. He just seems to, you know, ask the guys who they want to play with and send them out, and, you know, that's it. But there's more to it than just that, so...
Yeah, I mean, I could see having Jack as the captain and maybe grooming Fred Couples, or...
Yeah, has Fred even been an assistant?
I don't think so. I mean, everybody likes playing, you know, you hear stories on the tour, everybody likes playing with Fred Couples. I mean, he seems like a great guy and whatnot, but it just seems, after all the success that Jack Nicklaus has had as the President's Cup captain, if you keep winning for Jack, why wouldn't you just keep having him until he goes, I don't want to do it, unless that's the case here.
Maybe. I just hadn't heard that from Jack, so... maybe Jack is trying to free himself up to be, you know, the next Ryder Cup captain. Don't know.
Go for it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
We need help there.
That about does it for episode 79 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. We'd like to thank Gary Sherrill for stopping by and having a chat with us as well this week. If you have any comments or questions, send us an email at podcast@thesandtrap.com. Check our show notes out for links to everything we've talked about this week on our site. And check our forum out if you'd like at thesandtrap.com/forum. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying...
Silence is golden.
Bye-bye.
See ya.